Hello, hello, hello. Great day, everyone. Great day. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is our first new prayer call with Can We Talk with Jewel. We are going to start by setting a few ground rules, if you may. So I'm so excited that we're on this new journey together. Let's go. The first one. Right? We're going to listen and we're going to learn together. The second rule, we're going to respect and we're going to have receipt. The third, try not to use explicit language, please, my guest. The fourth, I'm going to need you to bring your authentic and most humorous self. So I hear the laughter already and you're just right on board. With rule number four. So let's get started. If we're running short on time, and this is the last and final rule, right? If we're running short on time, and I may need to interrupt you, respectfully, guys, trust me, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but if I need to put you on mute and kind of push the podcast along and let people know that we're running short on time, don't take it like I don't want to hear from you. It's just that sometimes we can get a little carried away with our thoughts. And so I will always kind of give you hints that we need to kind of keep it pushing. But if not, I will mute you just to give you the heads up and let everyone know we're moving on to the next topic. So, and finally, to my dear, sweet audience, if you have any comments about our shows, please continue to contribute. I really do like hearing from you. And I'm going to do something a little new than I have done in the past, which is I will be following up with your commentary on the next podcast. So if you chimed in online, sent a message, or you had something to say, you sent me a recording. I will play it, you know, because I'm here for all of that action, to hear from you guys and to, you know, stir each other's minds and make sure we're all on one accord. So feel free to send in those comments and follow up. I'm a huge fan of group participation. Anyway, I would like to introduce a very special guest today. Right on this first new prayer call and Can We Talk. His name is Thomas Lillard. Now I met Thomas back in 2021 during COVID, whereby I supervised him remotely on a Team 7. Now I mentioned Team 7 only because that happens to be Thomas's spiritually lucky number. And he'll probably share a little bit more about that with you guys later. But that's where I met this gentleman. We worked remotely, which you guys who have worked remotely know that it is faced with its own challenges. I mean, in terms of gaining that real trust factor and it being void of actual human contact, it's just challenging, right? Because you know, in order to just get a fully functioning kind of team going, sometimes, you know, people need to see your face. And I don't mean the picture, they actually need to see your face. And to build a team without that, it takes a lot of skill, talent, and trust, right? So, we happened to build a legendary team at that time and did something that was never done before. And those individuals that were on my team, we still keep in contact to this day. And I happened to win their loyalty and camaraderie, which I'm grateful for. And I think it was done probably by just being open, honest, and supportive of them through their career. You know, I always tell my team, those that I've worked with even before, my dear friend Thomas, I always tell you guys, if I can't help you, then I certainly will not hurt you, right? So you guys know. Everywhere I go, I tell you guys this. So I was fortunate to lead some of the most brightest individuals you could imagine. And I'm glad that they were open to my leadership. My dear friend Thomas was among many of them. Some of the other leaders, I must say at that time, well, they were intimidated by Thomas because he was, or should I say is, a very, very smart cookie. Thomas was not timid to ask some of the most challenging questions, and he would just shake up the status quo, right? And certain leaders can't handle that. Certain leaders expect you to just kind of speak when spoken to and move when they say move. I'm not that kind of leader, and I think that's why we gelled pretty well. I'm a creative leader, right? So we would have these candid conversations that I would tell my team, you know, these conversations would stay here, right? I'm not the type of leader that carries tales to management or anything like that. We would have these, I call them venting sessions, and they would tell me what's on their mind, how they think things could improve, and they knew that I would protect those thoughts, those sacred meetings between us. And there was just nothing they couldn't say. And I loved the environment that was created there with them. And we would build off of it. We would then, you know, talk about how we would go about bringing this information to management in a more constructive way, because you could only imagine our words were very colorful. But one thing I must say I appreciated the most about Thomas is that he was always so informative, right? I would say he keeps his ears to the street, right? And he would let us know what the current politics is, when the government's shutting down, how that would affect our functions and impact us on a day-to-day. And to this day, he still does not miss a beat, ladies and gentlemen. He keeps all those receipts for me. And he calls me up, texts me, lets me know what's happening. And I still appreciate that about Thomas. So, Thomas, thank you for joining us here today as our very first male guest. Allow me to welcome him to our new forum. His life story was recently published in a book. He is a loving father, a supportive friend, and most critically, a powerful, powerful spiritual leader in the community. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our brother Thomas.
Wow. Thank you, Jewel, for that warm introduction and having me to be the first guest. Oh my God, what an honor and a privilege it is. And you know, I'm not one to take center stage. I've never been that. And so I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I really am. But I'll just say this, you know, we said a prayer before we decided we were going to do this presentation. And basically we said, God's going to have control of the direction, and that's the way I feel like he is in my life. He is in control of my direction, and that's something that I have come to realize in the last few months, that I am in God's favor, and he just gives me victory every single day, and I truly believe it's because of the prayer that I have. And for those of you that don't have the Believe Prayer, we can forward it to you. I'll be glad to do so. I believe in it strongly. It is a miracle prayer. It has given me such comfort. Just knowing these two things, and this will be so simple. If you will just realize that Jesus lives and God loves, that's the only things you need to do to get through all this stuff that we're going to be going through. To know that if you get up in the morning, and it's what I do, it basically gives me the tone for the day. And so when I say, God, I want you to take control of my day, I mean it. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Because I don't know if you know my story, do you know how many adversities I've been dealing with, and they keep mounting. It's what it is. But anyway, so when I say also, I'm going to let go and let God, I am, and I do. I am not getting in the way. No, I think that's where we've come into fault. Is we simply think that we've got to stay in control, right? So, in other words, when we say in our morning prayers, you know, we kind of sort of want to do this, but we really want to do it our way. You can't go that route. You've got to let go and let God. And then the last part of my prayer is this. I say, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then I said, you know, you can put God on notice. And I posed this question to Jill, and she probably says, what? And I know other people have it too. What do you mean you can put God on notice? I said, well, you can. And I said this, because the first part of the prayer basically is, you know, Lord, you know, the things that we've asked for, you know, we're saying, believe. Because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every day. And then you follow that with, yes, Lord, Jesus lives. Well, I went to God with that, and I told him that I wanted to add some things to the prayer, and he said, fine. And that's where you get into the thing about, Lord, I want you to take control of my day. I added that. I also said, I'm going to let go and let God. I added that. And then the trust and obey because there's no other way, I added that. I used to sing that in church. I know a lot of you know about the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, see, I threw that in there because I think it's important. And so then, as far as getting to the part about putting God on notice, here's how you can do it. Do you know that you can pray in present tense? And what that means is that you can simply say, Lord, I want to thank you for the work that you are going to do on my behalf today. Now, what have you just prayed? You have told God that you're thanking him for something he ain't done yet. So what did you say when you said at the beginning of the prayer? He said, number one, you had to proclaim this prayer. I mean, you had to speak it out loud. But also that you had to make sure that you said those words, Jesus lives. Ha! Huh. So simple. So when you've done all those things, you're basically saying, hey, God, you know, I did my part. Your turn. I want to get that, what did I say, victory every day? Well, that's got to happen, but it's only going to happen through you. So when you do put God on notice, this is what happens. And let me tell you, people, it's amazing. It's amazing the victories that you get, and I do. I get a victory every single day, and I'm thankful for them. And so the last part of the prayer is this, that I will simply say to God, Lord, I want to thank you for the victory of whatever. And so, for instance, today, I will say this for tomorrow. Lord, I want to thank you for the victory of being the first male participant in this fundraisercup.org presentation. And it's an honor and a privilege, and my voice is breaking up.
Aww.
Because I just want people to know that God is a loving God, and Jesus lives, and he's in the room with me right now, and he's with me every morning, noon, and night, and he gets me through my days, and he'll do the same for you. It is true,
sir.
And you'll get that victory. And it's amazing. And I tell you, you know, God already knows what the victory is. He does. But what he wants you to do when you say the victory the next day is to realize, you know, the importance of what that victory was and what it did for you. So when you're able to say, God, I want to thank you for that victory, then he says, he got it. He got the message. And so, yes, you do get the message with the victory. You do receive the victory. You realize that God is in control. Now, in this world of out of control, we need to have God in control, and he is. And so with all the things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, and if you don't know my life, you don't understand what I'm going through. I wake up every morning, and I have low blood pressure. It's a normal thing. It can be detrimental to me because it can mean that I can have balance issues or I can have brain fog. You know, this all had to do with the vaccine injury, and it had to do with Pfizer and all this stuff, and realized that we were lied to, and I know who started this fast track, and I don't want to go down that road because probably Jewel will stop me about it, but I'm just saying that, you know,
you know I will.
We were deceived. And greatly so, and we're being deceived every single day, and there are people that are in the role of being the deceptors. And I'm one that's been tasked by God to be a simple messenger. So I'm looking at this platform now as being another way of me bringing a simple message to you. And the simple message is this, that when you get out of the way and you just let go and let God, and you don't put limits on God because God is limitless, we are the ones that have limits. And so God says, okay, I give you free will. You can go down this path, and you can face all these adversities. And then you can then turn around and say, oops, what am I doing? And let me just say this. I'll give a little comical thing with it. So what happens is, so in other words, you're saying, you know, with God, we like to think that he deals with the big things, and we'll deal with the little things, right? So here's what happens. So you got the scenario where, yeah, we've given God the reasons and the whys and everything to deal with the big stuff, right? The big tasks. But the little ones, we think, hey, God, we got this one. Cool. You know, we're all right. We're all right. Leave us alone. We can deal with it, right? So that's not giving full control to God now, is it? No, it's not. So what it is basically saying, hello, I got this. Well, okay, God says, go ahead. And he lets you go down that path. And then he comes to you later and says, hey, how's it going? You sound a little different. What's wrong? Well, I'm not happy. Well, why are you not happy? Well, let me say this. It's because I thought I had the solution. I thought it was simple. I thought it was going to happen. Well, guess what? It didn't happen. And I said, and so what are you doing about it? He said, I don't know what to do about it. I don't have the answer. He said, well, are you ready to get out of the way? Are you ready to let me handle it? And he says, and then, you know, he asks you the question, and so you're going, well, yeah, I ain't got no choice. I'm not finding a solution. I'm just spinning my wheels here. You know, I'm not getting on the track or anything. I'm not getting any traction. So, yeah, God take it. Fine. Thank you. Ding. Done. That's how simple it is. That's how it should be. If we had only focused and had our prayer time being nothing, do you realize my prayer, just believe prayer, it's not my prayer, it's God's prayer, by the way. But if we had only focused on this prayer every single day, and we had just let go and let God and get out of the way, how many things we would have accomplished in our life? Think about it. Think about it.
I just can't imagine. But Thomas, before we go, even, and I want to thank you sincerely for sharing that prayer. So many people could probably be moved in their lives by just that simple prayer. So thank you so much for sharing that. But before we go into, or we delve into today's topic, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about how you felt about our meeting when we were introduced back when we first met. And then we will jump into our topic today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jewel. I appreciate that. Well, let me just say this, y'all. A fast synopsis of me is I knew nothing about loans. I knew nothing about the process. I came in from the retail realm, which had nothing to do with it. I remember when I was in Team 5, they did the introduction, and they got to see my face for the first and last time. And basically, I had to stand there, I sat there, and I told them what I did and all these things, and I said, and I know nothing about what you're doing. And I said, but I'll say this to you. I'm willing to learn, and I want to learn, and I want to do my best. So if you give me the tools and the trades and all these things, I will do my best. And I promise you, you will be glad that you brought me into this team. And that is why I left it. And Jewel, I'll tell you, so when I was in Team 5, we had a great leader, a mentor, Sarah, on our small team, and she basically just, you know, present the loan, and then she said, okay, y'all discuss it amongst your little small group, and y'all work it out how you want to do this, you know, and we would build off each other, and we would ask questions, and we would say, do you do this? Do we do that? I said, well, I don't know. I've never dealt with loans before, so I'm reading from y'all's direction. And so then it got to be where they were calling on me, and they were saying, well, what do you think? And I'm going, well, okay. If I look at it this way and I look at it that way, then this is what happens. And so then we got transferred to Team 7. Now, let me say what Team 7 was all about. Well, and I just recently realized that the team was Team 7. Hello, that has something to do with me and 7s, and that's a whole other thing. Sevens are so divine with me. In fact, I'm drawn to them. And so it's just I you know, I go into surgery thing where I had the whole day with all dealing with sevens and people whose last names were seven letters in it, which is crazy. Of the surgery that I went through, because I went by myself and I didn't have anybody with me, but by having all of these, like the, I don't know if you're familiar with surgery, and you have like the pre-op board, and it had seven people were listed on the board. And majority of the people that were listed, I noticed on there, their last names had seven letters in them, and I'm going, aha, this is amazing. And so then I talked to the prep nurse, Donna, and I said, well, okay, so this is important. So she said, but it's not room seven. I said, it's okay. So I happened to look on my wall next to me where I was in the bed, and lo and behold, a picture on the wall. You can't imagine what the picture was. I was amazed. It was the Lincoln Memorial. How many letters in the word Lincoln? Seven. So basically my room was flanked by seven, which that meant then, and when my time came for the surgery, it didn't happen, and then it was afterwards, and then we finally got it at 3, which 3 is important, and then it was 25 after the hour of 3, which 2 and a 5 is a 7, and yeah, the procedure was ended at 3:40, and if you do 3 and 4, that's another 7. So what I'm getting at is 7s is very important to me, but it was really important to me for that particular day because I had nobody with me. That's not true. I had God with me because I had gotten up that morning and I said, Lord, you have control of my day. And I'm going to let go and let God, and I'm just going to trust and obey. So what was I doing in the surgery? I was trusting and obeying of what they told me to do. I was trusting that my surgeon would do the right thing, and I was letting go and letting God. I was letting go of worrying and letting God give me comfort. And the sevens gave me the comfort. So, getting back to Team 7, when I came on board with the team, I didn't know nothing. I'd only had, you know, the small introduction with the Team 5, and then I got put in with Jewel's group, small team group. And let me tell you something, people, and she is amazing. She is a great leader. She is someone that you want to have as your leader, especially if you're somebody new to the program, as I was. And basically, we were tasked with coming up with loans and learning how to present the loans to a bigger group. Now, the team lead, she basically gave everybody, you know, free will. They could do whatever they wanted. And it was very disorganized and very much chaotic. And we decided in the front end, and I think Jewel will agree to this, we decided that we were not going to be chaotic and we were going to be organized. We were not going to go into this thing disorganized. So we would meet ahead of time. We would actually do before the presentation of every event, like 10 minutes before, we would have like a 10-minute session where like we would get out the kinks and everything and then get everything going. But the reason why we did that is so that there was something that we missed in our first dry run presentation of it. Then we could catch it before we actually presented it to the team. Because the one thing you didn't want to have happen is and I saw so many that did this, when they were presenting, they would fumble and they would fall. And people caught on to that and they got it going, come on, you know, this is a waste of my time, you know, turn the volume down and all this kind of stuff. We were not going to have that. That was one of our first initial goals was nobody is going to turn away from us. Jewel, is that not right?
That was correct, Thomas. We were very diligent in making sure that everyone was prepared for their presentation, and we supported each other, which I thought was key. Even if something, you know, inadvertently would come up and hit us by surprise, we were always prepared to take over for that particular person on our team. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and I've got a little short story about that. Okay, guys. So one of the presentations it's not just guys. That's just a figure of speech for Southern guys, okay, and I'm a Southern gentleman, so go for it. So what happened was that, you know, we had the presentation and we were all ready to go and we had done the rehearsal, right, and everything went fine in the rehearsal. But when we come to the presentation, hello, no Jewel. She wasn't there. So, you know, we decided, okay, well, we're going to introduce this thing, what we're going to do, and we know that Jewel's out there in the background. She really is, and she's just letting us, you know, see how we can do this on our own. She's basically, you know, put the child out there and said, okay, take your first steps. It'll be okay. You know, Mama's here. She'll back you. She'll pick you up if you fall. So that's what's going on, y'all. Don't worry. She is here. Now, what the audience did not know is that we didn't know where Jewel had disappeared to. And we simply said, well, we got to keep the show going. The show must go on. And so we did. And so we didn't skip a beat. We kept on with the presentation. We interjected with our questions and all this kind of stuff. And lo and behold, miraculously, I guess you could say, Jewel was at the end. And Jewel, what did you say?
Well, I came in right at the end. I was having actually some technical difficulties with my mic, which many of you guys know when you work from home. Things happen. Internets go out. But it was one of my proudest moments, to be honest with you, because I knew I did what I needed to do as a leader in knowing that they were able to handle the presentation without me. And it was the first time that I was just in awe. Like you said, I felt like a mama who let their kids take that first step on their own and realized that they were prepared to walk into their own leadership positions and lead their own teams and do what they need to do. And that's what we're called to do as leaders. We're not just supposed to sit here and constantly hold on to the same group of people and force them not to grow. The goal is to give them everything you got so they can go on and do the same thing. And so, Thomas, I'm so grateful that you shared that story because you reminded me how you guys melted my heart that day, and I really appreciate you sharing that. Thank
Certainly.
You.
Certainly. It was a very important day, and I'll always remember it.
With that said, today's topic, Thomas, is the hamster wheel and the great deception, which I thought was a fitting topic to discuss with you specifically. Why? Because you have always been so diligent in letting me know about various forms of mass deception. So our scripture reading today will be on climbing Jacob's ladder. And we'll be taken from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Now, out of respect for our guest, Thomas, we will be reading from the Geneva Bible, and he will share with you all why he believes it is the truest Bible to date, and you are all welcome to chime in and share your thoughts on that. I know this will be a hot topic in and of itself. I got some longtime King James Version Bible readers that's on the squad, so I know you will have something to say about that. We look forward to hearing from you. And Thomas will share a little bit more after I read the scripture on why he believes that's the case. So the scripture reads as follows. Now Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came unto a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was down, and took of the stones of the place and laid under his head, and slept in the same place. Then he dreamed, and behold, there stood a platter upon the earth, and the top of it reached up to heaven. And lo, the angels of God went up and down by it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land upon which thou sleepest, will I give thee and thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And lo, I am with thee, and will keep thee whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not forsake thee until I have performed that, and I have promised thee. Then Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware. And he was afraid and said, how fearful is this place, This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had laid under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Notwithstanding, the name of that city was at the first called Luz. Then Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in his journey which I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothes to put on, so that I come again unto my father's house in safety, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, will I give the tenth unto thee. Okay. Now there are several things I want to take from that scripture reading and discuss with you, my brother Thomas. First, can you share with our audience why you believe the Geneva Bible is the truest Bible?
Well, okay, then let's get into it. So, in other words, King James, let's talk about him a minute. Are y'all aware, and I did this through my digging deep and doing my own diligence and research, I found out that he actually wrote the Satanic Bible. Now, if you think about that, if you're writing a Bible about Satan, what does that say about you? Does that mean that you are basically influenced by the devil? I think so. Because if you're making time and you're taking time out of your day to basically decide that there needs to be a Satanic Bible for people who worship Satan, well, I have a problem then with that person writing, say, the Word of God. And basically he's taking the scriptures or the words of John and James and Peter and all the rest of them out there and saying, you know, hello, it's my interpretation of these words. I have a problem with that. I think it was not godly driven. I think it was the devil driven. And I can go into some reasons for it, but Jewel said me not to do that, and I won't. So, anyway, I will simply say this. Do y'all aware that the King James Version basically is missing 64 books of the Bible? Yeah, they've been left out. So the Geneva Bible is inclusive of every book that there was written about the Bible from the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this Bible is inclusive of everything, and I think it's important for you. Now, if you want to, I will say adamantly, I don't want anyone to read from the King James Version of the Bible ever again, and I mean that adamantly, because I think that it has been deceptive. I think it was created in a method of deception. It was meant to turn the narrative. It was meant to make people worship and do things a certain way, and I disagree with it. So therefore, if you want to do a different Bible other than a King James Version of the Bible, fine. I have no problem with that. But if you want a good Bible to realize it's inclusive of everything and not exclusive, then go with the Geneva Bible. And basically, that's all I have to say about it, Jewel.
Okay. All right, Thomas. Guys, we look forward to hearing what you have to feel, how you feel about that. And if you have any counter beliefs, please feel free to chime in and let me know. Thomas, too, would like to follow up with you guys for any discussions regarding that matter. Now, Thomas, I have a little surprise for you. Let me know if you recognize this.
Most people have no clue that it's...
Hold on one second. Bear with me, guys. I'm having a little technical
glitch.
Difficulty.
Technical glitch. It wouldn't be real, would it, unless there were technical glitches?
It happens. It happens, guys. Do you recognize that, Thomas? Does it bring back any memories?
Physical. Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Do you want to go in the story about that one? Do you want to?
We can briefly run into that story really quickly, but I put on
okay.
that song because I thought it was fitting for this topic.
Yes.
But go right ahead.
And it is. It well, okay, we're talking real, right? So when you're saying mm-hmm. real, you're going to get this, you're going to get physical, right? Well, here's what happened with us. So I came up with the idea in our small team group. I said, you know what, Jill? I want to get these people's attention. I want to wake them up. So I said, here's what I'd like to do. I said, I'm envisioning that we have everybody stand at their desk, you know, get up out of their chairs. They may be standing in their underwear. We don't know because, you know, they're from home. But anyway, so I hear some chuckles. But anyway, it's okay. But just picturing it, right? So anyway, you know, here we're saying, okay, get up out of your desk, get out of that chair, and we're going to do jumping jacks. And we did. We did this. And I'm not kidding. You know, it just blew people away. And they kept hearing the physical music being played in the background. Of course, as you know, it's Olivia Newton-John's Get It Physical. And simply what this means is get it real. So when we did that, and then we said, all kidding aside, okay, okay, okay. And then we went through the process of presenting the loan. And I'll tell you, I had the team lead of the big team call me, and she says, what have you done? She says, this is incredible. Jill, I don't know if you knew this, but she called me and she said, this is incredible. I've had people call me from the big team, said, I ain't never listened to something in my life as much as I've listened to their presentation, and I've actually learned something today. And they said, this is amazing. I didn't think it was possible that you could have a loan presentation and it'd be so, so informative, but also so at ease, you know, and so much fun. And she says, how can you have training and there be fun? And I said, it's easy. Let's just prove it. And we did. And we did. And so
yes, we did. We did.
I kid you not. We had people contact us from other teams. And they're saying, we heard about your little presentation. We want to know what you did. We want to know if we can copy it. Jewel, did they ask you that, if they could copy it? Because
they did.
We had a patent on it, did we not? We did. We had a patent on it.
let me tell you guys something. I don't mean to interrupt you, Brother Thomas, but when Brother, I give all of my team members a certain kind of leeway when it's their turn to present and their own kind of creativity space, because I think that's important for them to grow, right? I want to give them that opportunity to really embrace whatever it is that they are going to present on from top to bottom and really take ownership of it. And so when Brother Thomas came to me and he was like, I want to play Let's Get Physical for my presentation, immediately my thought was like, okay.
She was blown away by it, y'all. Really, she's going, that ain't gonna happen.
I didn't come right out and say that, but I had to, you know, of course, as a team lead, I had to really kind of reflect, like, oh, what is my supervisor gonna think when I come out with this one? I know she knew that I was open to a creative space, but I didn't want it to get to the point where would it be taken seriously. But I decided ultimately to let Thomas go with this idea, and I'm glad I did, because it was a game changer. It woke people up, because we have these early morning meetings and people are just kind of like going with the flow. Yeah, barely listening half the time to other presentations. But we set the stage to them being alert, specifically during our presentations, and that particular song brings back those warm, fun memories of us changing the game, right, Thomas?
Mm-hmm. It was great. It was fantastic. It did set a tone for us. It surely did. And it basically blew the people away in the big team lead. And I'll say this, with, you know, they all then started to try to do one up on us. Of course they couldn't. We were the rock stars, right, Jewel? That's what we were. That
yeah, we were the rock stars.
It
was very difficult.
So
I say that most humbly, it was very difficult to top us, because just everyone had their own creative thing about them on the team that I helped them nurture and bring out the best in. And I just had a phenomenal team. I love working with you guys. But back to this particular topic, and the reason why I brought up that song is because of the physicality of climbing Jacob's ladder. I thought would also connect in our topic today.
Great.
So, Thomas, let's talk about Jacob's ladder, right? The ladder which appeared in a dream to Jacob, who saw it stretching from heaven to earth with angels coming up and down upon it. And it is also the straight path. I picked this particular scripture as I feel many of us may be running straight, but on this hamster wheel and going nowhere fast, right? We are running in circles and not climbing up the ladder of faith. You know, it's funny, we're living in this sort of matrix, and follow me if you will, guys. It's sort of like a game where you can kind of add characters and remove them. And I say that to say, you know, many of us have people that come in our lives that you know, are good for us. And then there's those that are toxic, and we have to just kind of remove them from this game. And we remove them from this journey, but we are expected to still go on this specific path, right? We're all expected to go to school, all expected to graduate, and then we're fighting in this matrix for these leadership roles, and it's just, you know, where are we going, right? Can we take several seats and figure out where are we going? Because the most important thing is our spiritual journey, first and foremost, right? And the truth is, we're here to learn and grow for the ascension of our souls. Ascension means going up the ladder, moving up on the soul journey. As we're going through this hamster wheel of deception, we're not going up. We're going around in circles. What are your thoughts about this, Thomas?
Well, I feel sorry for the poor hamster. And I don't know if a lot of you, and I know I did, I had a hamster, and basically, we did that as an exercise for the hamster because, you know, he's got this little small little cage, right? And so when you put the hamster wheel in there, it gave him an added attraction, I guess, and basically it gave him something to be focused on. So the poor little thing, the first time he gets on the thing, you know, he takes one little run and another run and another run, and he goes up the rungs and all the way, and he thinks, oh, I'm going to get somewhere, you know? And so he's swinging it back and forth, and he's so excited, and he's so happy, and you can see it in his eyes, and he's thinking, oh, wow, I know where I'm going. Now, we didn't know where he would think he was going. We thought he was just doing the wheel, right? And it was very annoying because I'm telling you, I remember having the hamster and having the cage and listening to that wheel go squeak, 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 squeak. I said, I wish he'd get off that wheel, but he wouldn't. Because otherwise, the only time he ever got off of it is when he had to stop and get a drink of water and eat some food. And then what did he do? You know, he had his choice. As God gives us a choice, you can go this route or you can go this route. And he decided, I'm going to get back on the wheel. And so he did. And he would follow the wheel and go around and round and round and round and round and round. And realize this, the wheel had borders, okay? So he could only go in a certain direction, and it was to be a narrow path, okay? So that's what he did. So when he started looking at the top of the you know, cage, looking through the wheel, the runs of the wheel, he was saying, ha-ha! I can get to the top. Now, that was his ultimate goal, just like with Jacob's ladder. You know, the people thought that they could get to the top, and if they could get to the top, they would be godlike, right? They would be God. But, see, God realized that that's not where we're supposed to be, and that's where we are right now in society. We are trying to take ourselves in the role of being God. We can change DNA. We can decide who gets born, who doesn't. We decide who dies and who doesn't. These are things that are not in our realm to be decided upon, but they have been. And God said, I'm done with it. I'm finished with it. It's in. We've got to be ready for it. If you ain't ready, well, you better be. So here's my focus, okay? So on this hamster wheel, right, you had better decide where your ultimate goal is. Because I remember, actually, one hamster that I saw, I think it was in one of the pet stores, I watched the little hamster do it. And for some reason, the wheel jammed. And the little thing got up to the top. He did. And so what did he do? He then moved outside the border and then got up and he pushed his body. He was on the outside of the wheel, okay, which is really weird. And so then he was pushing his body, trying to push the top of the lid off of the cage. Guess what? He wouldn't go anywhere. He didn't really think it through, did he? Well, and that's the that's the way it is with us. Because he looks down, he's going, my food and my water are down there. I don't have no food and water up here. So I don't, what am I going to do? Well, he's got to go back down the ladder, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, when you go through your ladder of success, okay, realize when you're climbing that ladder, beware of whose feet and toes you step on and hands you step on as you go up that rail. Because what happens is when you get up there to the top and you think you've reached the plateau and you're successful, well, sometimes that success fails. And why does it fail? Because you didn't have God in your life. That's why. You let the devil tell you, you can do this. I'll help you. I'll be right there with you. I am your support, right? There's no support with the devil. He don't give him. I'm going to be nice, Jewel. I'm not going to say I'll be nice. He don't care, all right? I could say worse and should, but I won't. And so I'm just saying that, you know, when the devil is running the show, he'll promise you everything. He'll promise you the world. He'll promise you the moon and back. But when it comes down to it, when all's said and done, it's sink or swim. And let me tell you this, when you go through college and you got all this stuff and accolades and you're going, woo-woo, I'm so happy, I'm so me and all of that, and then you get out there in the business world and you start stepping on toes as you come down, as you go up that ladder of success, yeah, you better realize that there's always a way of going back down that ladder, and that's what happens to you. So you better realize how badly you treat people, what they can do to you, because vengeance, whoo-hoo, is swift. If you've done something that has been deceptive on your way up, and you told them that you were going to help them as they get up the ladder too, and then you don't do that, woe be it to you. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm saying, okay? When you're traveling on that hamster wheel, and I so many times told Jewel, I said, Jewel, I wish I could just get off the hamster wheel. I really did. Because my hamster wheel, people, has to deal with the deception that I have in my medications. Because Big Pharma has promised me, and my medical professionals have promised me, that if I do these things and do this and do that, that I will get better. Guess what? I'm not getting better. If anything, I'm getting less, okay? The my blood pressure readings are getting worse than they were when I first entered the hospital in January 18th of 2022. They're worse. And so I'm seeing that my medications have not been working for 3 months. I went and asked my doctor. I said, so I have well, doc, why are we taking the same medications that I've had prescribed to me for 2 years now and why they're not working? And so why aren't we not getting something else? And he told me point blank. Now, this is something when you hear your doctor tell you this, I can't manage you. Huh? So your doctor's saying he don't know how to manage me. So he was relying on Johns Hopkins, a referral to Johns Hopkins. A lot of you know about Johns Hopkins. They are a renowned research facility, right? So they required me to have a certain exam taken to see if I have this interaction with, like, it's almost like, what do I want to say, where you go to an acupuncture and they use the needles, okay? And then they also use, like, a frequency, like you could actually feel like they were vibrating or they were electrifying or whatever. And so they would see if they moved certain parts of my body when they did that. And so when they did the results of it, they came out and said, yep, you got neuropathy. They said, tell me something I don't know. I already knew that. I'd gone and done the tilt table test, and I knew I had autonomic neuropathy. But Johns Hopkins wanted this test done. So got it done. All right, so then we set it up that they are going to then reach out and they're going to contact me and let me know of when I will have my appointment with them. Well, guess what? I was told that that particular appointment will never happen. And why? Because get this, people, Johns Hopkins does not have a specialist to be able to manage me as well. Wow. So who's going to be the manager of me? Who's going to be the one to see me get on a path of I can either adjust to what's going on, or I can get better, or I can get worse? Jesus. So guess what? He's my manager. Yeah, my manager. And you know what? You know what, people? He should be your manager every single day. So in other words, when you get up every morning and you say, Lord, I want you to take control of my day, get out of the way. Let God have it. Let him deal with it. He is more than capable of dealing with the thing. And where we fall flat is we simply think that he's just like us. He's got limits. God has no limits. He is limitless. The devil and his way, he puts limits on everything. And so all those promises that he promised you as you're going up that ladder of success, was he there to help and support you? No, he was not. Because he don't care about you. You see, what he was able to do was get you to sway your feelings, your devotion. In other words, you left God behind to go the worldly way, didn't you? How'd it go for you? You know, that's just like what God says to us. He says, you know, you've decided that you want to go down this path, and I'm going to let you go down this path, and you have that free will, and you do. And he says, okay, go on your way. Because he doesn't want to be a dictator. Now, he could easily say, no, they're going to do it my way or the highway. All right? But he's not that way. He's a loving God, y'all. Loving God. So, anyway. You go and you say, well, the simple things and all this kind of stuff, and you try to step in and you try to take control, and what happens? You get that roadblock that gets in your way, right? Does the devil help you with that roadblock? How about that mountain that comes up your way and you're going to have to get over that path before you can get to wherever you're going? Does the devil help you with that? Does he give you strength to get it done? No, he don't. No, he don't. So basically, you're sinking or swimming, aren't you? Yeah, you are. So, here's the thing. With Jesus, it's his way. It's you're finally realizing that if you just let go and let God, it's so much simpler. Life is so much simpler. This lesson that we're teaching y'all today about the hamster wheel, you know, the hamster wheel is there for a reason for the little hamster. It gives him his motivation. It gives him exercise. He then actually can do things better than what he did before. He feels he's accomplishing something because he's building up his muscles. You know, he's finally getting to see what he can do. And it keeps him driving. And I know one thing that used to bother me would be when I didn't hear the hamster wheel turning. I thought, oh, God, did my little hamster die? Did he finally run out of gas, you know, like the engine that could? I think I can. And all of a sudden, you know, he's out of gas. Well, no, that's not what happened, because then you look over and you're thinking, okay, he's just taking a drink of water and he's taking some more food, and then what does he do? He gets back on that wheel and he just squeals and squeals and squeals and squeals and squeals. And he enjoys it because it's his exercise. So, okay, you people go to the gym. What do you go to the gym for? You get on the treadmill, right? Yeah, you get on the treadmill or the bike. Yeah, the exercise bike. And you've got that little screen in front of you, and you're going, oh, yeah, I'm accomplishing. Oh, I feel so good. Yeah, is that going to get you to heaven? Honestly, is it? No, it's not. All the money in the world is not going to get you into heaven. You know, Jesus had a story that he said, and the story went like this. He says, you got the rich man and the poor man. Have y'all heard the story? Let me say this. So a poor man, Jesus asked the poor man, said, okay, I want to be able to give you the opportunity to get to heaven. But I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to give up all your worldly possessions. What does the poor man do? He said, sure thing. Sign me up. I'm ready to go. Okay. So then he does the same presentation to the rich man. All right, sir, you can do all this. You can get your ticket to heaven. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me. Well, what is that? You need to give up all your worldly possessions. What? Give up my worldly possessions? You don't understand. Those are passed down generation after generation. I can't give those up. But, sir, you realize that if you don't give them up, you won't get to heaven. I can't make that decision. I've got to have my worldly things. I can't continue this. You see the lesson learned here? It's easier for a poor man to get to heaven than it is a rich man. So in other words, the lesson is this. Your worldly goods, your wealth, are not going to buy you a ticket to heaven. They're not. What's going to buy you a ticket to heaven is compassion, is life learned lessons of letting go and letting God, of trust and obey, or there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so when you trust and obey, yes, you get happiness, people. Happiness. Don't we all want happiness? Don't we all want joy? We do. And when we're out in that cold world, do you feel happy? Do you feel joy? Do you feel satisfied? No. Well, what did the devil tell you? Oh, they said you'll get all those things, right? You'll get the riches and the glory and the accolades and the satisfaction. Where did that go?
Mm-hmm.
False. False. It was pretension. It was pretending. He faked you out, and you fell for it. Right, Jewel? We fell for it. And so what I've come to realize in these last 3 months, seriously, people, that God is real, that God loves, and Jesus lives. And I place my trust every day in the fact that I say, God, you take control of my day. And let me say this, I have so many things, adversities that are going on with me, physically, mentally, you know, financially, it would make your head spin. And people can't imagine me having a positive attitude about anything, considering everything I'm dealing with. And I simply just go about my day, and Jewel thinks I'm crazy because I'll start laughing. And I gave her a lesson in that, and I think I'm going to throw this in here, Jewel, just in case. Because, you know, in Joseph A. Bank store, I remember that things were just so ridiculous, you know, with COVID and everything coming on and all this protocol that we had to do. And I'm sure y'all remember the protocol, wearing the mask and 6 feet distancing and all that crap. Oops, I'm sorry. That's a little colorful. But anyway, so what I'm saying about that is, you know, I'm going, gosh, this is crazy. And I thought, we'll never get this. And I started crying. And I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to laugh. And I started laughing about it. And they came over to me and they said, why are you laughing? I said, well, it's better than crying. And they said, well, that's true. I said, you should try it. So I thought, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to learn from this experience. So in other words, when things are so bad in your life, okay, when you feel like you're at your wit's end and you don't know where to turn and you just are weeping and wailing, get out of that depression. Get out of it immediately. And you know how you can? Laugh it off. Just say, this is so ridiculous, you know. And when you laugh, it actually creates endorphins. Now, Jewel actually looked up what endorphins do, and basically it's like an energy boost. And what it does is, because you then are focused on laughter instead of crying in depression, and Lord knows, the devil wants you to be depressed. Oh, yeah, he's going to tell you that if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to be depressed. And you're going to be, you know, feel like you're just not worth anything and worthless. And he loves that because, again, he wants you to be drowning in this deception. Yes, he does. But God, there's no deception. There's laughter. There's joy in the morning. There's peace and goodwill. It's all those things, people, wrapped up into one, okay? One common, simple belief. And you can take this as a great commission. And I told you, this is really the great commission that everyone was tasked with, and they did not follow it. And it's this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
But realize this. Jesus lives, God loves. And it's time for us to stop putting limits on God, Let him have control of our day. Back away. Let go and let God. Trust and obey. Be happy by trusting and obeying. This is what I do every single day. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have been able to present not only my colorful story, but also to be able to share with you my belief prayer. And I truly believe it. It's been a miracle prayer. And I do welcome
your
comments.
Thank you, Thomas.
Wait, Jill, one thing. I do welcome one more thing. I do welcome your comments about this presentation today. And I will say this. In the next segment, we will read those comments at the end of the segment. Right, Jewel?
Yes, yes. But, Thomas, I have a few more questions before we close out.
Yes.
I also want to add a little disclosure to Thomas's comment about laughing instead of crying. Now, you may appear mad to the masses, but you will also appear a lot younger than the masses. Because of those endorsements. So just something to consider, and it makes me smile today. moving on to, he looks great for his age, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on to, our next, topic, well, not topic, but kind of subtopic to our major topic is, in today's scripture, God was talking to Jacob in his dream. Our Father still often speaks to us in dreams, in visions during the night. If you all remember, we previously spoke to you all on Joseph's dream of his brothers bowing down to him. Let's consider this. In Job 33:14-18, for God spoketh once or twice, and one seeth it not, in dreams and visions of the night, when sleep falleth upon men, and they sleep upon their beds. Then he openeth the ears of men, even by their corrections, which he had sealed, that he might cause man to turn away from his enterprise, and that he might hide the pride of men, and keep back his soul from the pit, and that his life should not pass by the sword. As I've grown in my spiritual journey, ladies and gentlemen, I have come to that very same understanding. And even on a deeper level, guys, I learned that you can actually be really, really present in that dream. And I can go on into this topic, you know, for several sessions, but I want to get Brother Thomas's opinion on this. Do you still believe that God can speak through dreams?
Yes, I do. And let me say why. Because I don't know if y'all know, but autonomic neuropathy, I call it auto, it only lets me sleep 3 hours a day. Yeah, you heard me, 3 hours a day. How do I function? It gives me energy, I guess. But basically, so in the middle of the night, and I'll say this, usually about 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's actually when I do get up and say my belief prayer is 3 o'clock in the morning. I know that seems very early for some people, but when I'm already up, you understand why. But a lot of times, you know, he will speak to me. Like, for instance, there's two particular instances, and I will speak about one, and I can tell you about another one later. But having to deal with, you know, making me up, said, wake up. And I said, okay, I'm awake. Go to your phone. Why am I going to my phone? Go ahead, do it. So I opened up the phone, and it was this lady talking about digital currency. And I'm going, this is interesting. Let me continue listening what she's talking about. And basically she was talking about, and I know this is going to step on a lot of people's toes, and you need to be aware of ways and why I'm saying it, Bitcoin. I don't know if any of you have been bitten by Bitcoin, pardon the pun, but have you been bitten by it? But basically it's a Ponzi scheme. So in other words, basically it's promising you the moon and giving you nothing, and literally nothing. So, instance, I'm going to paint a scenario for you. When you have a coin in your hand, everybody, I want you to close your eyes and to feel like you have a quarter in your hand. When you do, let's analyze the quarter. So it's got rough edges. It's got ridges around it, right? And so you're feeling that, and you feel there's a weight. So there is a metal that's in your hand, right? And it's got some consistency of weight to it. And so in other words, too, you've got some kind of design that you feel on it because you're feeling it with your thumbs or whatever, okay? So in other words, you've now got a physical object in your hand, right? Okay. Take that away. Now put a Bitcoin in your hand. What you got? What you got? How does it look? How does it feel? It don't have any look and it don't have any feelings because it doesn't real. It's not real. It's like Monopoly money. So in other words, you're investing in this new world order, right? Digital currency, which is soon to come into what they call quantum banking. Now then, when you go that route, it will usher in. Realize this, Bitcoin was the initial test of ushering in the mark of the beast. Now, what am I referring to with that? Okay, let me say this. So when you have digital currency, you have a digital wallet, right? Well, let me just tell you what's going to happen with that digital wallet. Say, for instance, you're running a company and you might have $200 million invested in that digital wallet. Do you know what the government can do? Flip the switch. Now, when they flip the switch, guess what? That $200 million? Gone. What does that mean? Well, remember 1929 when they had the stock market crash? How many of those people could not face it? What did they do? Jump out their windows of their offices, committed suicide? Because they couldn't deal with the fact that they were now paupers. They had all the riches and glories of the world, and now they have nothing. Okay? So that's what this is all about. So when the government can flip the switch, what they're going to do is to say, hey, you know, you're going to go to them and say, hello, government. You know, I got my hand out here. Hello. I have a question. My question is this. My money was there yesterday and it's gone today. What am I going to do? Well, what do you want done? Well, I want you to do something about it. He says, well, we've got a solution for you. Well, what is that solution? I'm ready to do it. Oh, are you really? Okay. Well, what it is you're going to put this microchip in the palm of your hand, or you're going to put a microchip in your forehead. Now, why am I doing that? Because that's going to give you the freedom to do the next step in this quantum banking. You're going to be able to do all of your business transactions by just a wave of the wand of your hand. Wow, that sounds cool, doesn't it? And then also, you can then make business, you know, movements of money by the same token. So in other words, you're just, it's in the palm of your hand. Wow, what power you've got, right? Let me tell you about that mark of the beast. If any of y'all have read Revelations, you know what it talks about, the mark of the beast. That the Antichrist will bring in the mark of the beast, right? Because that is how he is going to control the masses. Mm-hmm. Now let me say this. You'll experience this first initial test of the mark of the beast. I don't know if y'all are aware of it. Maybe y'all are in the New York area. You might have been wary of it. When you did not take the vaccine. Huh?
Correct. And I do want to share a little bit more about that experience in another podcast.
Sure.
So I don't want to go too
sure.
Yes. I don't want to go too deep
no problem.
Into it today. But he's absolutely right. I will be talking about that experience at another time. I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to get to this last question, Thomas, as we're running short on time. And I appreciate you sharing some of your visions and dreams with all of us today. And I'm sure I have a lot of followers on my social media page that's heavily into Bitcoin and crypto.
Please don't.
And I'm sure
stop it now. Stop it now.
I'm sure I'm going to hear from you all, and I'm here for it. I want to hear what you got to say. I'm open to whatever you got to say to justify your spiritual path and your investments, definitely chime in. Let me know. Let's talk it out. Moving on to the next subtopic here, I want to talk about that stone. I want to talk about the pillar and that anointing oil that Jacob started to use as soon as he got up and realized that the area was blessed by God, right? So I know a few of you I spoke to about us sending you guys some anointing oil, and I want to talk about that a little bit because those of you who may not be familiar with anointing oil or different things you can do to protect yourself, protect your home, I will be delving into that more into this this series, because that's our goal, is to help our community with certain wisdom and insight, and to make sure you guys can somewhat protect yourselves, right? So in the Bible, the anointing oil is a biblical practice that has been carried out for centuries. It symbolizes God's power, His presence, healing, consecration, and hospitality. The oil is a type of symbolism of God reaching man, God flowing as the Father in the Son through the Spirit to reach man. And you guys all know of the story of anointing your home so that, you know, the angel could pass by. So you guys,
the death angel.
Thank you for the question. The death angel could pass by. So Jesus, and also Jesus himself was anointed with oil multiple times in the New Testament. So, I'm telling you guys this, that this is not something that's a new phenomenon. I know sometimes you guys may hear these things, and if you're not familiar, you may think that it's pagan or something foreign. No, these things that I'm sharing has been historically given to us in the Bible to do to protect ourselves, our homes, and so forth. And the fact that Jacob did this, I think, only solidifies what I'm telling you guys. And then let's talk about the stone a little bit. The stone first represents Christ as the stone for God's building. He is the cornerstone, and I want you to touch on that a little bit, Thomas. The top stone, the foundation stone, and the living stone. Jacob took the stone, which he used as a pillow, and he turned it into a pillar. The pillar is for God's building. And so if you can elaborate on what you think about that a little bit, Brother Thomas, I would love to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I came from a Baptist background, and so, yeah, we were told, you know, that it's very important to have church and the building church. And so for, you know, that pillar or that stone or the cornerstone of the building basically was a very important thing. And I remember when we were building the new church, the new First Baptist Church, that, you know, that was important to have, you know, that cornerstone. And also, we actually had members that would put, you know, contributions. They would do like a money that they would give toward the church, but then they would get like a stone that would have their name or whatever on this path, you know, that they did. And we're going, oh, wow, that's so cool. But get this, people. Here's the thing. When Jesus rose from the grave and he was out in that garden, right? He said, and this is very important to remember, he said, I am the temple. I am the new church. What does he mean by that? Means in Revelations where we're waiting for the building of the temple, right? That's supposed to be part of the, you know, 7 years of tribulation type of all that phenomena, right? I'm telling you, no. You know where the temple is right now with God? Do you know where the temple is? Do you know where it's located? It can be located anywhere. How can it be located anywhere, Jewel? Do you know how?
Go ahead. Feel free to share it, Thomas.
Okay. The temple is within you. Ha ha! So, if we are the temple of God, if God knocked on our door and we let him in to our temple, what are we doing? Okay? Then this is what the devil does. He wants to tear down that temple, doesn't he? Does. So he enters in your mind and into your thoughts and he says, you know what? God is boring. God is so predictable. Don't you want excitement? Don't you want that rare opportunity? I can give you all that. You know, temple schmimple, nothing with it, right? So when you go and you give up your temple, your physical temple, your bodily temple, and you decide to follow the devil and his evil ways and his ways of the world, okay? Digital currency, all that stuff that's out there, then you are going to suffer. You're going to suffer. And the way you're going to suffer is this. Because you didn't keep the godly temple, okay? When Jesus comes at the end of these years of tribulation, and I do believe we're in the seventh year right now, and so that means Jesus is right around the corner. And so when you keep God as your temple, okay, then when Jesus comes, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, what I mean by that is when you go through the process of wheat, you have to go through and get the grains of wheat separated from the chaff. The chaff is like, you know, the garbage that's with the plant. So that gets thrown away. That gets burned away, burned off. Okay, so then you have the wheat. This is what Jesus is going to do. He is going to collect the wheat, and he's going to take the wheat to heaven. Okay, so you've got a choice to make, people. You can decide that you're going to be wheat or you're going to be chaff. Okay, so that is a simple decision to make, isn't it? So you want to go by the way of the world and all its glory? Yeah, and its deception? There's plenty of it. Or do you want to follow Jesus and you just let go and let God and you just trust and obey? I think, and I do for myself, and I can tell you this, I don't care if they beat down my door tomorrow because I didn't pay my damn taxes and they put me in jail. Oops, I said damn. I'm sorry, Jewel. But, and pay my taxes. And I don't care if they put me in jail and I die in jail. Guess what? I will die and go to heaven. So I don't care. It don't matter to me because I know what I've done. And I'll tell you something. It's going to be the best thing to me because I used to worry with it. You know, when people used to say, well, don't you know what your plan is for your life? Don't you have something that's going on with you? What's your ultimate? I didn't have anything. I didn't know what I was going to do. But what's happened to me in these last 3 months, God has given me my plan. He's told me what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to give you these nuggets, these words of wisdom. This simple prayer, this living testimony of my life, and know, according to Sean, who wrote the book, Awakening the Republic, by Sean P. Sorry, I'll throw the little punchline in there, because he deserves it. It's a great story. My story is the first one in the book. It's 7 pages long, again, another 7. But it's there for a reason. And he told me this. He said, Thomas, you are an anomaly. I said, what do you mean? He said, you are a living testament of what God can do in spite of what's going on in your life. I said, you're right. And he said, that's why I put your story in the book. And I put it the first because it needs to be read. People need to know what you went through in 2022. They need to know what you're dealing with now, each and every day. And you're not folding because of it. You're not breaking because of it. You know that you give God control of your day each and every day, and you don't have to worry about any kind of redemption, any kind of reconciliation. No, you don't. Because when you're living that true to God, you've done it. And so when I get to heaven, when they open up the Lamb's Book of Life, it's going to say, Thomas Littler is my good and faithful servant because he's done well. He did as I asked. I picked up my cross, and I follow him every single day. And y'all need to do the same. And you need to realize it's a one-person choice. You can't make your family follow you. I tried. I lost my family. My 2 daughters.
I just finished my 67th birthday, March the 1st. Did I get even one call or text from either one of them? No, I did not. My own children that I stayed in a marriage for 29 years for, and they have abandoned me.
Well, that's their choice to make. And they'll have to answer for that somewhere down the road, but it won't be me. But me, I choose to follow God. I choose to live by His example of love and compassion and willing to be there for our fellow Christians who are hurting. And when you have someone that comes to you and they say, God doesn't love me, God don't care, Jesus is not around, He doesn't exist, you sit down and you share with them that believe prayer, and they'll see a difference. They'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. That two simple things, Jesus lives and God loves. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen, Thomas. Thomas, I want to thank you for coming on our podcast and sharing your thoughts and spiritual understandings. I want to thank you especially for showing up as your most authentic self. We can certainly feel the passion in your words and your love for God. And I want to remind all of you supporters out there that in closing, as you're getting onto that hamster wheel and that daunting ladder of success that so many people are blindly climbing versus the ladder to heaven, many of you are out here trying to make a name for yourself by any means necessary, even if it means sacrificing and selling out your family. And we can hear some of the passion in our brother Thomas's voice about his particular family relations and so forth. And some of you are out here selling out your family, throwing them under the bus, even your colleagues. I just want to remind you that if that's the path you're on that hamster wheel, you're going nowhere fast and simply just spinning on that wheel. I'm sure many of you will reflect on that, and some may even comment and try to debate or dispute, but it's just the fact. I just want to reiterate that to you all in closing. I look forward to speaking with you, Thomas, again, and I look forward to hearing from all of you about what Thomas has shared today. I want to share a quick prayer with you all. Lord Jesus, you are the stone for God's building. Work yourself with your stone element into us to make us living stones, buildable into God's house. Lord, make us pillars in your house, those strong and standing to support the testimony of Jesus and express Christ corporately. Build us up with all the saints into your house so that we may be for your rest and satisfaction. Keep us under the anointing of the Spirit, enjoying the flowing triune God to reach us and fill us with your Spirit. We pray for all of our supporters out there and ministry leaders. May you all continue to be our cornerstone needed to build towards the kingdom. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Everyone,
amen.
Please continue
amen.
To donate and support the ministry. We are growing and working with some phenomenal people, as you can see with our first dynamic guest, Mr. Thomas Willard, this month, and I am so very grateful and thankful for all of your support. So until we meet again, God bless you all and continue to be the light. Okay? Bye, guys.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo!